sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
From the Star Market Studio, Zolak and Bertrand are live from the TD Garden for the Bruins playoffs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Smart right-hand dribble falls down and gets it away to Horford, who lays it in at the cup. $3 tried to wrestle the ball away from Marcus Smart. He was able to pull it free, and Al Horford was all alone under the basket. Man. We knew nothing when we got to the ballpark tonight except this. The craziest play of the game and the winning play of the game was going to be delivered by Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart did exactly that.
You're never going to believe it. Never going to believe it. He made it. He made it. So made it.
Rinky Dink operation.
He made it.
Rinky Dink operation.
Here at the Star Market Broadcast Studio at TD Garden.
How many Super Bowls have we covered?
A few.
Do we do a broadcast the day that we're required to go to before game where we secure a location in City X? We'll be in Atlanta this year. And I'm sure we'll be doing some Saturday broadcast there. We roll in and we can reserve parking spots to the broadcast that we need to do, and it's not even ours. But yet we're required to do a remote broadcast where there's no parking.
This has you unhappy, I guess.
The garage is closed. Have fun going to game tonight, folks. TD Garden Garage is already closed. What do you do?
Where'd you park?
Don't worry about that. We got that figured out. They got a problem, they can call them downtown. Yeah. This has nothing to do with Star Market Broadcast Studio. This has nothing to do with the Boston Bruins. Have fun trying to park tonight, folks. Good luck. Because if the garage is closed already, I have no clue what state it's going to be in 5 hours from now. And that was a fun ride. Let's do it. Let's do this show.
So it's hot. I love this.
It's embarrassing. It is. Oh, yeah. You guys are down. Yeah. Go Leafs. Let's go.
Rooting for the Leafs now? Oh. That bad that you don't want to come back?
No, here. I do want to come back. No, I don't want to come back here. I mean, I want the Bruins to win. The Bruins are winning tonight 4-2.
Oh.
So I'll counter what Fred said.
Okay.
Fred was a lot of fun today, so I only have to watch the first 10 minutes of the game. Heard that on the way in, sitting in traffic. Just watch first 10 minutes. Fait accompli. They're cooked. Nah, they can battle tonight. 4-2, they win tonight. It's really a 3-2 game. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you I called it. Sneaky good game tonight, 3-2, and they get an empty netter to get it to 4-2. That's how they're winning tonight.
Yeah, 3-2 game, you would think.
Hey, how you doing today?
That's not a good game to watch. It's going to be sneaky good, though. A game 7, one-goal game. Sneaky good. Sneaky good watch.
The charity basketball game last night. Good seeing a bunch of the local guys, Patriots and stuff. And I can't tell you how many people came up to me and did the sneaky good comment again. I got to stop using it. You got to stop using it. It's getting out of control.
Beetle and I can use it because we use it properly.
Right. This isn't a Hardy thing. This isn't a Beetle thing.
It's just like
so improperly using the sneaky good.
I'm down at Gil's Wake yesterday, and it was great seeing a turnout for Gil Santos down at Bridgewater. You know, all the expats are down there and broadcast folk and everybody from WBZ, and we're standing in line there, and I'm looking at Beetle. And Beetle, you had to park far away, and he walked a couple blocks.
I had to go around the block a few times, but I made it.
I tap you on the shoulder. I go, look at that parking lot over. Sneaky good hidden parking lot. I'm using sneaky good in everything, though.
Yeah, except, again, it wasn't sneaky good. It was a parking lot that if you were able to get a parking spot in that particular lot, would not be good. It'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, it backed up to the building.
Right.
That's not sneaky good.
Right.
No one would ever think that was not a good lot.
Yeah.
You've got to use the sneaky good with something that may not be thought of as being good, but under more consideration, more thought, you say, you know what?
Like the parking.
It's actually sneaky good.
Parking today.
No, I don't think that's going to be the case. All right.
Like Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Sneaky good.
Marcus Smart. Sneaky good.
No,
sneaky good player.
He's a good defensive player. I don't understand that. Now all of a sudden he's a sneaky good defensive player?
Nope.
We know,
no,
he has
no.
trouble on the offensive end. But he's sneaky good. Little good shot in the arm for that team last night, him being there, huh? Little energy, little grit.
He impacted the game in a way that I don't think, as much as I like Terry Rozier, and we've done this conversation all season long, and Celtics fans do it all the time. You want to pay one of these guys, Smart or Rozier, which one do you take? It's hard because I like Rozier's skill set, and I like a guy who can shoot. And then I look at last night's game and say, there's no way that Rozier in one game, just coming back, one game right away, could make the impact that Smart made last night.
Well, he's well-rested,
just
too.
No way.
I mean, he's well-rested. I know he's dealing with the hand and stuff, and we're going to talk to Brad Stevens today at 11:20. But you could just see the energy level defensively what that guy brings. But if you ask me, gun to the head, if I got to keep one of the two players, I'm still keeping Rozier over Smart. Because I think you just have the upside there with the scoring and his ability to control it. I don't know. But Smart right there last night is what they needed. It's what they're going to need if they close out Milwaukee and eventually get to the 76ers who are chanting your name. And they want you, and they want you badly. And that series is going to have some juice. Can't wait to get to that one. Because, I mean, I think at times when you watch this team play the Bucks, I think the game labors at times. Where it's a, I don't know. I mean, we're rooting for the young guys. You know, they're playing with the hand that they're dealt. The coaching options in the game, his ability to move guys in and out, who he starts last night in the lineup, you know, rolling the dice a little bit, getting Smart back. You're excited for what really the future is and what Dan Shaughnessy said on Borrowed Time, right? You know, his article. And he's right. How much further can this team go? They should be able to close this Bucks team out.
As far as the series goes, I'm with you on this part. I think the NBA first round needs to be 5 games.
It should be 7. That should have been an advanced game last night. You're right on that one.
That should have been it. It would have made every game in this series a
100%
better,
right.
More meaningful game.
100% right on that. To think you may have to sit through two more of those type of games to get to the Sixers, it's tough.
I just don't like the needless 7-game series in the first round. That's my thought about this. They need to go back to a 5-game first round is what they need. Best of 5. And I just think it'd be better. You'd have more meaningful games. You wouldn't be the other series, the Philly series that they just won. That felt like it was dragged out. It was clear and obvious who the better team was in that series. They didn't need 5 games. They needed to beat them 4-1. You could have beaten them 3-1. And that's just as good of a series. This series should be over right now. That should have counted for the end of the series last night. I'm tired of 7 games in the first round of the NBA.
I'm sure they are.
People love this Celtics team, even with the guys who are hurt. They do. They're watching. They're paying attention. It should have meant more last night. This thing is too dragged out.
I'm with you on that. 100%.
And the Celtics better win this series because the Philly-Boston series, that will be fun. That will have some real juice.
Got some juice, man.
This series, I'm tired of this series. I'm tired of watching the Milwaukee Bucks.
Hey, stop Giannis.
I'm bored. I'm bored with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Hey, limit Giannis.
Am I allowed to say that?
Yes.
It's too many games.
Grind down Middleton and limit Giannis.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. Every night.
I don't need to see 2 more games of this or even another game of this. I don't need any more of this. Let's move on. Let's advance the Celtics to the second round. Let's go.
You didn't have Marcus Smart last night. What kind of game you got? Like, the best thing about that game was you had Marcus Smart back.
What's better for the sport right now? If the Bucks were to advance and take on Philly or Boston? At Boston. It's not even close. They're the better team. They're up 3-2. Let's call it right now. Series over. Goodbye, Milwaukee. Celtics move on. But no, we got to keep playing out the string. That's what they got
to
do.
It would also make that, like, LeBron being down 2-1 to the Pacers, like, they got to win 2 in a row to win the series.
Yes!
You can't afford another loss.
Thank yes!
You. I agree with you. 5 games is good.
First
round.
Just the first round.
No, you want the drama after that.
Right. Yeah. Then I mean, you want to get in
after
that long,
you get out of the first round, you get a better product.
Absolutely.
You get better games. You just have better NBA basketball being played after the first round. I've learned
as
over
we get
the
ready
years,
for Game 7 of
and,
hockey.
And it applied, I think, to the Bulls series a year ago, and I think that it is really always applied, even when the Celtics were crushing everybody. I don't like the first round of the NBA playoffs. I don't. I don't think you're getting your best basketball in that first round. Let's shorten it up. Let's shorten it up and get the thing. Let's get going here. I'm tired of this series already. I'm more excited about the thought of them playing Philadelphia in the second round than I am them playing more games against Milwaukee.
Now, where'd you park?
I park in the garage.
How'd you get in the garage?
They let me in.
What about the close sign and the cones?
There were no close sign. No
okay,
cones.
Okay, so you beat me. You beat me in.
I buy about a minute.
So
you... Guy was very friendly.
Oh, really?
Said hello.
The guy on the golf cart?
I think there was a golf cart nearby. He wasn't in the golf cart, but he said, we'll find you a place to park.
That's nice of him.
Yeah, he did.
The other guy at the top of the ramp didn't get the message.
I'm not in the space.
Yeah.
I'm kind of randomly on the side of a wall that there's no marked spaces, but...
I'm on top of cone.
There's three other cars there, good. So I think it's good.
Good.
You're on top of the cone?
Yeah, I just moved the cone. With my truck.
With your truck?
Yeah.
Just kind of left it there?
It's underneath your truck.
If you want to move, if you want to move a cone with your truck, you get down and see my boy Jamie at McGee Chevy down in Raynham.
Really good cone pushing type of vehicle.
Oh, he's got those. He got the big Sierra double cabs. Big suckers. Those things will run over cones.
Coaching, big factor last night. Brad Stevens was big for the Celtics. Semi Ojeleye being in the starting lineup was big for the Celtics. Marcus Smart, I think, is the big part of the story. How could it not be? I mean, he just brings a level of intensity that I don't think this team had without him. And now they've got, again, fighting for every loose ball. Making winning plays, as the green teamers like to say about Marcus Smart. So I thought last night was
untouchable, untradeable.
Good result. Milwaukee can take that missed 24 seconds.
Unsignable.
And shove that where the sun don't shine. That is payback for the missed call going back two games ago that didn't get called on Jaylen Brown. So we can say we're all even now. Yeah. Okay.
No, that's another
thing. We're
all
good. And Milwaukee, just quit because this thing is over. Just be done, please. Yeah. I don't even want to watch these remaining two games. I want to move on. I want to move on to the 76ers.
It's another
That's
exciting thing. It's another exciting thing with Smart, though, because you know prior to what we thought he was going to be completely out, ruled out with that injury, you know, once you heard he was getting a surgery, you thought, you know, you may have seen him play one of his last, maybe his last games in a Celtic uniform. And now it gives you think, you know, you're not going to sign him back. Somebody's going to come in and pay him what he wants. But, hey, you know, if he could get you into this next series and maybe get you through the next one, plays his ass off, maybe it's one of those guys you've got to keep.
617-779-0985. Take your calls on the Celtics. Bruins have a game 7 here tonight. We'll get to that. And Rob Gronkowski is coming back while Brad Stevens with us at 1120.
The NHL playoff. Play here. Zoe and Bertrand are at the Star Market Studio on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Going to the third period, this is fun. This is where you want to be. You want to be in these moments in your life. You don't remember everything in your life. What you do is you remember moments. You remember, and you want to create those moments. You want to create memories. Here's an opportunity for us to create memories with a good group of guys, like each other a lot, play hard for one another. We had a good regular season. We want to have a good playoff. So now we've got to go to Boston, get the clam chowder like I talked about, and then got to dig in and win a game.
You think he had good clam chowder last night or what?
Yeah.
I bet he had great chowder.
Depends where he could eat, where he could park.
Oh, I bet he found it.
Yeah. Walk. He's probably staying walking.
He probably had someone drive him.
Stay in the cup playoffs, man.
Someone bring it to him.
Dude, they stay like
Bring me the good clam chowder.
So the Bruins were staying at the Ritz up in Toronto. Okay. So I would assume that you're either at the Four Seasons or the Ritz here if you're the Maple Leafs. And that's how the league takes care of you, bud. Sure, those two hotels have very nice clam
chowder. I bet they have decent clam chowder there.
Nice chunky pieces get stuck. You know, like we do the reads for Dunkin' Donuts with the fruit-flavored teas?
Mm-hmm.
And where he gets his little bits of fruit, I think you get nice little chunks of clams.
Maple Leafs head coach Mike Babcock, game 7 tonight. And you're on the no concern, they're going to win, they're going to do this thing.
Come out, I'm thinking I get two first-period goals. They got to get ahead. They got to get ahead in this game.
I hope you're right, but I don't feel good. I don't feel good about it.
You sit here and dwell on past game sevens and series trends and squeezing the stick.
Because my thought is, how many chances can you get? I mean, how many chances can you create? How many opportunities can you miss in one series?
Did you hear Pasternak? They were running some of the clips this morning where they were asking him, one of the reporters asked him, what are you going to change to increase your scoring chances?
He said it was a stupid question.
I'd have changed nothing. I changed nothing. I continue to do what I do. I shoot.
And chalk that one up to some kind of like, not a language barrier, but maybe just not a full understanding of how.
I think he understood the question. I think
how prickish that statement comes off. I think it's.
Oh, you know what
question.
I've been doing? I've been trying to miss the net. That's what I've been trying to do.
No. Yeah. But is it ever nice to say that's a stupid question?
No. Seems a little harsh.
Yeah.
And if you're that not is... scoring, is it a stupid question?
But that,
how
really.
Stupid is the question?
That is the real question, though. They can't score right now. This is what Cassidy's right. talking about. We need to finish.
I mean,
well, how do you change that?
Yeah, but you can easily say, you know what? There are things we got to do to be in. Maybe not, you know, you're not shooting differently. Yeah. You're not changing any sort of
more
technique.
Net presence. We need to get around the net. We need
right.
to make them nervous.
I mean, are there not adjustments that the team needs to make offensively?
Well, that's just it. He can have
the
set.
The last couple of games, they got to get out in front of the net. They got to try and get some rebounds. They got to, you know, create something there.
Pastrnak could have the same answer, but the question was, what are you going to change so that you can score again and do some more scoring? And he could say, nothing. We're doing everything right. The puck's just not going in, ringing some posts. And Anderson's been really good, but we're not going to change anything. But I think we're doing everything right, which is essentially what he said. But then he ended it with, that's a stupid question. Well, no, not all that stupid. They've been scoring more goals than you. You guys were scoring goals just in huge droves. I understand that everybody tightens up on defense in the playoffs, but you just lost two closeout games in a row, and you weren't scoring enough goals in those games. I don't think the question is all that stupid.
Yeah, I don't think it was that stupid, and I think he could have given an answer, but he didn't. The Bruins need an answer. Do they have an answer tonight?
What?
What was that?
We
have Pastrnak. Why don't we play it then?
What adjustments are you going to make so you can start scoring again?
I'm not going to change anything. I keep shooting. I get into chances. Goalie makes saves, and I think that's a pretty stupid question.
Not a great look.
I'm with him.
You think it's a stupid question?
I mean, not a... the team's reeling right now. Obviously, his line and the guys on that line, when they win games, they find ways to score and put it in the net or at least get an assist or two. When they lose, they're blanked. You know what the question is. You know what's coming. Yeah, maybe. I don't know, Hardy. I think he's a little frustrated. Parcells would have said that. Stupid question. That's Bill Parcells, though. A little more stamped. I don't know. Net presence. Yeah, let's buzz them a little bit. Let's get guys going.
617-779-0985. Mike in Boston. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question. Why aren't they playing Donato over Heinen? Heinen's done nothing, okay? You put Donato with Krejci and DeBrusk, and now you got that second line jiving again.
We don't know for sure that Donato's not playing tonight, by the way.
Yeah, it's not final yet.
It's not finalized.
I thought they announced it, that he wasn't.
Was. Sort of.
He wasn't on any of the lines yesterday, but Cassidy did not refute the question when it was asked about Donato. It's still a possibility. He hasn't made any final decisions yet. And that was after morning skate, but he was the last one on the ice yesterday. Still out there working on stuff. See what happens today.
Would you put him in?
Yeah.
Yeah, the more I think about
this, it's loser goes home.
I think it would be sort of a ballsy move and sort of a risk in that.
Look what Brad Stevens did last night. What do you do? Sometimes you got to take risks. Start a semi and let's go. See what the hell happens. It worked.
I think they're going to need him. I think they're going to need as
much. Because when in spots this year has he fallen on his face when he's been asked to be out there? See, normally you sit him down when, okay, we see a kid come back down to earth. No, he's sort of grasped the moment, and it hasn't looked too big for him. It's all hands on deck tonight.
And you know what I thought about? I kept thinking about this yesterday when Cassidy kept saying that, oh, you know, if we get on the power play, he will help them. If they need him on the power play, he can help there.
There'll be more of a frantic pace.
And you're at home, which means some of those calls you weren't getting in Toronto in Game 6, you will likely get here in Game 7 if, big if, the refs are willing to call penalties in this game. Because in a Game 7 situation, you never know what you're going to get. You can have refs that say, the hell with it, it's Game 7, everybody let them play.
You sense an uneasiness and just... This building's going to be tense tonight.
With the
right?
Bruins?
Yeah.
Oh, terrified.
Like, I mean, this place is juiced yes. and amped on Saturday. You're thinking, hey, man, we're here. We're fired up Saturday night in Boston. Closeout night.
Mike in Rhode Island. Hey, Mike.
You're biting nails. What's up, Mike?
Yeah. Mike, Rhode Island. Let's get Donato back out there. Get Donato, DeBrusque, Krejci going again. They were lighting it up. They were averaging 2-3 points a game. And all of a sudden, he's back out of the lineup. Wonder if you think about that.
Okay, what a call. Yep.
He likes the guys with the
I'm
D.
on board.
The D's in front of their name.
Donato, I'm on board.
DeBrusque, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, he was in there scoring that, but Rick Nash came back off injury. You know, I mean, it's somebody goes down. But now you had him. You were up 3-1 in the series. You're on the verge of a choke. Here's another one. Say Rask gets run tonight. Early.
Pull him out of the game.
Future considerations for that guy. Talking about guys playing their last games tonight. Could he be his last game as a Bruin if he chokes?
I don't think you're going to trade him because
I mean,
of that.
But
you'll trade him if there's a deal to be had.
This is a coach that doesn't seem like it's 100%. This is our guy. You know, he'll make moves. If something doesn't look, I'll pull his ass.
John in New Hampshire. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. I don't like to disagree with the head coach, but I agree with the last two callers. I think Donato's a good choice. I like him on third line with Backus. I understand the second line thing because that's how they played. But my question was, I'm not counting the Bruins out of tonight at all. I think they win tonight. But after this season, what do the Bruins look like next season? I don't crunch numbers when it comes to, like, money and contracts and stuff. But what do they look like next
season? Pretty much what you have right now. They're bringing Char back. It's pretty much the same team, which you're going to see next year. Right?
Everybody. You hear the acoustic version of Zombie Nation.
Oh, my
call
God.
That's what you call.
We're not doing this yet. We're not doing this yet. But, I mean, who's the guy Claude?
Screw Game 7. What are they going to look like October?
Let's talk about October.
I think that's a pretty stupid question.
It's on the tip of my tongue. Who's the guy Claude resisted the play? Who's the big guy? Claude resisted the play. Was good offensively, but struggled defensively. Had the glove save in net when the net was open. Damn it.
Not Ryder. He would play Ryder all the time.
Was it? Was that Ryder? Yeah.
Yeah, Ryder played all the time.
But I thought we wanted him more. Like, there's resistance. I don't know.
Sagan. Tyler Sagan.
No, it's of course Sagan. Please.
617-779-0985. We're going to continue with Celtics and Bruins thoughts as well as the latest on Rob Gronkowski. Gronk is coming back. We'll get to that next. And Brad Stevens coming up at 11:20.
Sports Hub headlines.
Bruins and Maple Leafs play Game 7 tonight at the TD Garden. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the call, starting with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show, 7 o'clock. Puck drops just after 7:30 here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Meanwhile, the Celtics with a big win last night, 92-87, to go up 3-2 over the Milwaukee Bucks. They'll play Game 6 in Milwaukee on Thursday night. Red Sox suffered a third straight loss, 4-3 to the Blue Jays in 10 innings last night. Rick Porcello got the start for the Red Sox last night. What were you doing out there?
You know, we were mixing speeds up down the zone well. I think that was the biggest thing. You know, they got a lot of guys that are aggressive trying to drive the ball, so trying to change speeds down there, and it was working for the most part.
The middle of the game, three-game set happens tonight once again in Toronto. Headlines are brought to you by Box Center. Don't miss Lewis Black live at Box Center Schubert Theater on Friday, November 9th. Tickets on sale now at boxcenter.org/Lewis Black. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Bruins playoff buzz is here. Zolak and Bertrand are at the Star Market Studio on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
got news from the Bruin. Bruce Cassidy just announced.
Here you go.
Donato out. Donato is out.
I like that, folks.
And that means he will not play tonight. That's the official word. They were leaning that way yesterday, and that's now the official word from the head coach of the Bruins.
Let me write that down.
Bruce Cassidy.
Donato, ninth floor.
Ninth floor.
Next to James Stewart.
Danton Heinen back in, but no Ryan Donato. Heinen hasn't even had a good series. I mean, that's like the bad part about it, is that it's not about veterans and youth anymore, which it hasn't been about. It's about who's playing well, and Heinen hasn't really played well.
That's surprising.
He hasn't played as well as we've seen him play at times. So, that's the news. I don't think people are going to be happy with that.
But the more interesting thing is Rick Nash is bumping up a line.
Yes, he is.
And Heinen's going to be on the third line.
Yes, he is.
So, they need something out of that line. DeBrusque, Krejci, and Nash have to produce tonight.
I don't
they
know.
Have to do something tonight.
I don't know if it's more interesting. I think the fact that people are thinking, yeah, Ryan Donato, he seemed good at scoring goals. They're having trouble scoring goals, getting any points out of the top two lines in these losses. Maybe get somebody out there who's not going to be, you know, thinking about what happened last time. There hasn't been a last time. You know, it's the opposite of the normal thinking here, but you get a kid out there with no playoff experience. He's been a Bruin for about 20 minutes now in terms of playing with the big team. I would take a chance with Donato as a guy who doesn't give a rip. Like, what?
I can't agree with you more because of the sport, too.
But can I be honest with you all?
The kid's been playing hockey since he was
about this? This is sort of lame, though, that this is what our complaint is.
But wait a minute. I mean,
like, if you
it's an offensive-minded player that has shown in spots that when he's been given chances that he can freaking
if they lose this game tonight, are you going to say it's because they didn't put Ryan Donato in the lineup? Because if true, that's sad.
If they don't score any goals and they seem snake bit all around, once again, yeah, I think it'll be a topic of conversation. I mean, not to mix sports.
It shouldn't.
But we talk about the Patriots losing the Super Bowl because of Malcolm Butler.
Oh, because of a guy who played 98%, 99% of the snaps for an entire season.
To your point, it's not
what, like 12 games?
Not a conversation about Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski or any of the guys that you normally talk about. It was like one. Let's face it, he is not something that you think about. It's like, gotta have him. Can't win without him. It's the same thing with Ryan Donato. You don't think of him as a guy.
That is not an equivalent argument at all.
I think it's a fine argument.
That is not an equivalent. You cannot compare Ryan Donato to the Bruins as Malcolm Butler was to the Patriots.
Well, it's not an exact comparison.
It's a terrible comparison.
If you lose a game tonight, 1-0, and you have 43 more shots on goal, and you can't net the damn puck, people will be questioning him tomorrow for not using him.
Just in the sense that you need a Butler to go in there and make a play. You need somebody to go in there and in these losses score a goal. That's all they needed.
If you're looking to be mad at somebody about it, you should reserve your anger for the guys who are on those top lines.
Yep.
You should be mad at the Rick Nashes.
That's true too.
And David Krejci's.
How about Rick
and Brad
Nash?
Marchands and Patrice Bergeron's. Get mad at those guys you want someone to complain about and be upset with. Don't be mad about the fact that the coach didn't go with a kid who's played in a dozen games. That's lame. That tells you that your team wasn't that good to start with.
So you're fine with Heinen being in there tonight and not Ryan Donato.
No, I think I agree that I would put Donato in.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm saying it that this will not be the reason if they lose that they end up losing. It won't be.
It won't be. Won't be mentioned. Won't be brought up.
It will be, but I'm saying it shouldn't be the topic of conversation.
It's going to be
because
what
it's not an equivalent.
It will be one of the topics of conversation. It will be one of the topics.
It'll be dependent on how they lose. Like, you got smoked in the Super Bowl. You couldn't get a stop. And he's one of your top defensive backs that played the entire year. See, Donato did not play the entire year. But all offensive hands on deck tonight. I'm with you on this. They lose this game 6-5 and they have the ability to put the puck in the net. Probably not going to be as critical for not playing Donato. They lose 1-0 and have 40 shots on goal. And they hit the glass.
You're having this conversation about Ryan Donato is because your elite guys have disappeared. They've disappeared for two games. And the Bruins have absolutely given away everything that they had in this series in the 3-1 lead. They've given it right back because they have not played to their ability. They have come up short. That's what they've done. And that's an alarming trend, and it's why I'm terrified about tonight's game. Because the way they're going is
terrified.
The playoffs are going to end for the Bruins tonight. That's what it feels like. And I'm not predicting that's going to what's going to happen. I'm just telling you what the gut feeling is about it. Don't feel good today about the Bruins.
And Hardy,
I don't know how anybody could.
The reason why I think Nash is the bigger story is because Cassidy's saying, you know what, we gave up a first-round pick for this guy for this playoff run, strictly this playoff run. We're putting him up there. He's got to produce tonight. They're putting the guy that they gave up a first-round pick in a good spot to perform tonight.
Yeah, there's a lot riding on him and a lot riding on the top-line guys, but it comes down to overall goal scoring, so there's going to be a lot of conversations if they lose tonight.
Not dressed, yes.
I don't think there's one. I don't think there's one guy that you single out. I think Nash will be one. If Marchand and Pastrnak don't produce tonight. That'll be a conversation. And let's, you know what, for one guy's sake, if it's a loss, I hope it's that, and I hope it's not what we talked about yesterday, and that Tuukka Rask has a similar performance like he did in Game 5. Because that will be the ugliest of conversations tomorrow.
Zoe's got him traded in the offseason if that happens tonight.
Oh.
He thinks there's going to be teams lining up to take him.
That's the
in
problem.
July, I was going to go, I called it.
Yeah, yep.
Told you.
Hey, July 4th, they deal his ass, and you're all sitting there, and I'm down in a cape, and I'm laughing my ass. I called it right there.
News yesterday, Rob Gronkowski posting on Instagram that he's coming back. So what happened there? Because that is a complete 180 in terms of his tone, in terms of his attitude, in terms of just where this thing is headed. 180.
With a couple guys last night, they were getting a chuckle out of it too. I think the HC of the NEP had about enough of it as a lot of people around here have with the vroom press conference and sort of mooning or spitting in their face, whatever you want to call it, to what he did. Probably picked up the phone, said, "Get you and your agent here. We're figuring this out now. It ain't about giving you a new deal."
That, or a couple of days of bad press and a couple of days of realizing that fans had started to turn on him.
Hey, and if that's true. Credit Drew Rosenhaus for getting ahead of it, too, and ending this ridiculousness. This is what it is. It's ridiculous.
I mean, his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, had to have looked at this and said, "Gronk, you are wearing out your welcome with your team."
Not only that, he's got a ton of guys still with the Patriots that Drew represents.
And
he has a great relationship with
Bill.
You're going to screw me, too, in my business.
You're now impacting your reputation and your standing with your fan base.
Yeah.
And when you've done that, what are you really left with? Yeah, you're a great player. You could certainly, there'd be, you know, dozens of teams lining up to put you on their roster. But in terms of your current employment situation, that's not healthy. That's not good.
Guy that throws you the ball.
If money is what you're looking for, if you want more money, and we all assume he does, you know how you're not going to get it? Doing what he was doing.
Right.
Okay? That's not going to get you the more money.
Can't wait to work out. Cave. I am in shape and ready to go. I feel great.
Is that what the Patriots
are
doing?
Paying
the guy who does the mock press conferences?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And then there's the other part of, Gronk, you have a lot of big endorsement deals. You have a bunch of big endorsement money coming in because you're a very likable figure.
They really
people
like you
love
in
you.
Northeast. They if love you, you.
And if they give you reason, if you're giving them reason not to love you and like you, well, wait a minute. You may not be as valuable in all of your endorsement money.
Look like a smug, cocky prick.
I just don't know what he was going to get out of it.
I don't know what
he was going to achieve.
It wasn't funny that
by
day.
Doing the things he had been doing.
Normal.
Not just Saturday, but everything that was on Instagram. And I think that Saturday
came
was
to
just
head.
The personification of everything that was on social media. It was live. It was in your face. There was a tape. And what do we say? It's always worse when there's video. It's always worse.
Yes.
That's what happened.
There was not one single defender or positive reaction to that little ditty that he did over the weekend.
More on that coming up next as we give away a $50 gift card to Dunkin' Donuts. Stay tuned. Also get to your calls on the Bruins. The playoffs are going to end for the Bruins tonight.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Bruins play here. Zoe Beadle from the Star Market Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We'll be right back.
caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $50 Dunkin' Donuts gift card. To celebrate National Pay It Forward Day, take advantage of Dunkin's new go-to offers and make someone else's day brighter. Do that right now. Be caller number 10 on the Pride Motor Group contest line and win the $50 gift card to Dunkin's. 617-779-0985. Gronk has come to his senses. He's come to his senses. Couple days of the bad press changed his opinion on things.
I think Bill, and knowing Bill for as long as I have, you could say certain things to him and he could take it, and he could say certain things to you. But you start airing stuff out the way Rob officially started to air some things out last week, to where you're going to look like this smug jerk and sort of, you know, moon us while the rest of the team's in there working out, which they are. I'm not going to stand here I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to allow our players to sit there witnesses. So here's what we're going to do. Probably called him in. Said, if you want Drew to come, you can tell Drew come on in too. Because I got a lot of clients that Drew has. We're not trading you. We're not giving you a raise. I just want to find out if you want to play football mentally. Because if not, we got to move. We got to move in a different way, and we got to move in a different direction. Because it's not fair to the rest of the football team. Probably gave him an ultimatum, and Rob came to his senses, and I'm sure Drew's hitting him from the other end to what you talked about. It's a bad look, Rob. You're starting to turn people off. You know, let's get the fun-loving, football-loving Rob Gronkowski back out there. Flex your muscles, tweet it out, Instagram it, do whatever you need to do. Hashtag it with whatever bands make you dance. Let's put it out there that you're ready to play football again. We all knew this, though, right? This isn't what we expected. This is exactly what we thought the way it was going to plan out and end up being, because Bill was going to say, that's enough. And I think that's what happened. I don't think Rob called him and said, hey, guess what? I'm ready. I'm ready to decide and give you my decision. I don't think he had a decision date or ultimatum. I think Bill picked up the phone after being embarrassed last weekend. I think that's what happened. And I don't think anybody he plays with is shocked he's coming back. I think they all knew all along. It's just this little game he and Brady are playing in the press that's amusing the rest of us and fans, but pretty much nobody down within those walls. They know the drill. They know the deal.
617-779-0985. Brad Stevens will join us at 11:20 this morning. Let's get back to some of your calls.
No Donato.
No Donato for the Bruins tonight. Heinen in, Donato out. Kevin in Worcester, what do you think?
All right, boys. I wanted to talk to you about the naps I've been taking during these Bruins games. I've had more exciting dreams this past week. I've never seen a hockey game where it's been absolutely putting me to bed, even though they're absolutely shelling the team on the other end. So you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of the series versus Ottawa, and not because of what the Leafs are doing, it's what the Bruins are doing. The Bruins are becoming systematic, and they're too easy to predict. And to me, that wouldn't be an issue if the Leafs were distracted by something else like they were in the first two games.
So consistent style play is boring to you.
What were they distracted by in the first two games?
I'll tell you. The Bruins need to be annoying again, and they need to pull the Leafs' focus away from how the Bruins have been playing. They need to be worried about getting licked by Brad Marchand, demolished by Kevin Miller, and having their faith caved in by Adam McQuaid and David Backes. That tends to make the team forget about putting themselves between the Bruins and...
Are you reading something right now? Are you reading a magazine?
Sounds like you're reading.
No, I'm not reading.
You got notes?
No, I don't have notes, guys.
Okay. Kevin's point is they've got to be agitators. They've got to sort of distract and...
Score first and
get them out of their element and get chippy.
How about this? How about the other night? How about not scoring first and giving up a goal 35 seconds after it? That's bad. That's counteractive. Counterintuitive to what you want to do. Net one of these bastards early and get after them. Start moving. Start hitting people. Run the freaking goalie if you need to.
Tell you what, first
one
goal.
One time.
First goal. Home team. Game 7. Very important.
Oh, good point. Let me write that one down.
Very important. I'll tell you why.
Home team in game 7.
Yes.
First one. Ooh.
If you go down 1-0 at home in a game 7, yikes.
Ooh.
We've been saying all series, you know, first goal wins. First goal wins. Last game that didn't hold true, but it held true in every other game in the series. That the first goal had won the game. Bruins get behind tonight at home. Ooh, that's going to be hard. That's going to be a hard one. hard to deal with that tense environment inside the building tonight. And the fans start to turn. They start to get upset. Mike is in Groton. Mike.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Beetle, I completely agree with you on the Nano thing. It's got to come from the top 2 lines. And, I mean, sure, I'd like to have him in, but it's got to come from the top 2 lines. But my main point was, and I don't know if it was exactly you guys, but when Carlo got hurt, the majority of the things I heard was, oh, not a big deal, not a huge loss. And at the time, I thought he was playing some of his best hockey, and I think he could have been a big factor in the series. He's big, maybe he's not the most skilled, but he's big and he's young, so he can maybe keep up with some of these guys. So, and Zoe, I agree with you. Bruins will score 2 early goals tonight, but unfortunately they'll win in overtime, so that's going to be fun to watch.
Well, Zoe's going 4-2.
4-2.
4-2 with an empty netter.
I'm going to watch a 4-3 game tonight.
He
I'm going to see an empty netter.
4-2, empty netter is the way that it goes. Overtime would be something else. That would be different.
I would not like that.
That would be different. Brandon Carlo being gone.
Can't go to bed after that game. Overtime game 7? Kiss my rear.
I think we'd be less concerned about, and I don't think anyone's concerned about this or has been talking about this, but we expected Charlie McAvoy to be Charlie McAvoy again, and he has not been in this series. He's hurt. He's not playing at 100%.
There's periods where he looks...
If he's close to 100%, then we're probably not bringing up, they could use Brandon Carlo right now.
He's not strong enough on some of the defensive plays where guys get behind him. His ability to push guys to the corners has been there in the past. It's not there. It hasn't been there in the series. It's not.
Let's go to Ryan, who's in Rhode Island. Ryan.
What's up? My point is, I don't think it's much so Donato over Heinen. I think it's more Donato over Nash. But I know that's going to be a tough move for Cassidy to make because, I mean, he's supposed to be a top guy. We traded a bunch for him. That's my 2 cents. And Hardy, awful take in comparison about Butler.
No coach in the NHL. I'd like you to find me the coach who would put Donato in over Rick Nash for a Game 7 tonight. Find me that guy.
Well, I would like to find one person prior to the Super Bowl who said that the win or loss would have hinged on Malcolm Butler and making one play. That was my only point. I'm not saying that they're comparable in terms of experience or how much they've played during the season. I'm saying you're talking about role players. You're not talking about stars. That was the only point I tried to make. So you can suck it, and everyone else can too if you don't like it.
Butler against the Seahawks. That's a perfect comparison.
It was a perfect comparison.
3 years ago.
Right. Yeah.
It was a quick analogy that Beetle decided to lose his mind over, so fine, whatever. I'm not going to pile on me. That's all right.
Patriots, Papagino says a deal for the Patriots with the top 2 picks for two first-round picks. Two large pizzas with 2 toppings, $20. Sit there and watch a draft tomorrow. I'm getting fired up for the draft tomorrow night. We'll draft things like that.
Did that just happen?
That just happened.
Did that just happen?
That's a good deal.
Jim, Hardy, Tom, we're here, right? Okay.
You mentioned the Butler thing. It took me back to the Patriots tweeted that out. Wow. I'll be doing that. Kids like that. My kid loves to. He'll go double meat.
Here are the headlines. 90 seconds. No commercials here. Hour number 2 is on the way, and don't forget Brad Stevens, Celtics head coach at 11:20.